some people look at consciousness as it's not in your head, it's everywhere, and like every human with a set of eyeballs and a brain to register what's going on around them is just more like a radar system to the consciousness.
Like we're microprocessors. Everything we input goes back to a main consciousness.
Yeah, I mean,
that would explain things like zeitgeist.
How do I know if I love you when I show like your bread, the way that you tuck up and straighten your bed? But how do I know if I love you? How do I know?
Everybody, welcome back to Collected Issues. This is session 7, this is Mike.
This is Bruce.
And Bruce, we have another returning person to our couch today.
Yes.
And I'm going to stop this. This keeps sounding super pretentious every time we talk about somebody sitting on the couch.
We're losing it. Welcome back, Ryan Merrill.
Yeah, Rock. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be back.
We had such great response from your first visit. We thought it'd be foolish not to have him back again.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I am a fan favorite.
Oh, you're a favorite of yourself, and you're one of our two fans.
You're our favorite fan, is really what it is.
Oh, that doesn't bode well for my cousin.
No, it doesn't. Of course, Ryan, can you actually quote the episodes and know specifically which episode from Break-Ins that we did specific things on, because Ryan can do that.
We need to put other Ryan on like a Wikipedia duty.
I know. Oh, man. Yeah.
I got nothing. I do remember you guys playing music from Buffy the Vampire Slayer at one time. It was towards the end of the episode, and it was like, where do we go from here, or something like that. Do you remember that?
Would request specific songs.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Buffy the Vampire Slayer? But that was before my wife talked me into watching the whole series. So now I get it.
Is it worth watching?
If you can sit through the first two seasons and have someone encouraging you all the time to watch it, then yes.
So no.
I mean, it had to. I mean, it went on for what, 8 seasons or something like that?
No, I think 10? It went on for 7 because I thought season 8 was the,
the comic.
Straight to comic.
Right.
Tell Amanda the show continued
10.
In comic
form. Oh, yeah, she collects the comics. She still has them. She reads them. She's up to date.
What does she think of the Brad Meltzer run on it?
I don't know.
Okay. I like Brad Meltzer a lot, and I'm like, I didn't feel the need to jump into a Buffy comic that I know nothing about.
I mean, like his show, Decoded.
Yeah. It's a fun show.
It's not a bad show.
He's a good
guy. I hate when people... Okay, so I will never watch a show about aliens or Bigfoot.
Right.
Because at the end of the show, they're not going to fucking find aliens.
Clearly.
Or Bigfoot.
Right.
So,
Have you guys seen that show, Ancient Aliens?
Yeah, that's on all the time on the Science and History Channel.
I really like that show, except for the guy with the tall hair. The tall, dark hair.
Yeah.
He is so stupid. He ruins the show every time he gets on there.
He's Joe Bardnell.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Very, very inside reference with me and Ryan. But he's the guy we knew.
Gotcha.
Who talked shit like he knew what he was talking about.
The guy who ruins stuff, who's like trying to be cool and like is the guy who always ruins something pretty much. What is that? This is like when you would go to play baseball with somebody, and this is the guy who would throw the ball and like break a window as soon as he touched the ball or something like that.
Or like he would hit a home run into like the prison.
Right.
And you're like, well, we don't have a ball anymore, Joe. What are we going to do?
It's the Sandlot all over again. Yep. Yep.
Or he would take a shit like in the catcher's mitt.
Oh,
what is that about, Joe? God damn. So, Ryan, speaking of taking shits.
I'm here. Hey, guys.
You said there was a book recently.
Yeah, you read a big boy book.
I read a big boy book a while ago when I worked as a master control operator in TV business, which gives you plenty of time to read books instead of watching TV to make sure it's on.
Yeah, despite what else says.
And then I recently have I found that book on YouTube as an audiobook for free, and that book is called Rant by Chuck Palahniuk, the same author that did Fight Club and Choke.
Yep.
And I read Diary. Do you ever read Diary?
No, they also have that on the audiobook, and my wife owns it, but I've never read it.
Rafi bought it. It was like first vacation we ever went on. She's like, I should buy a book to read. I don't know if she ever finished it. I finished it. I loved Choke. I did not like the movie.
I haven't read the book. I did read the book, but the very first line in the book says, don't read this book. And I was like, okay.
I listened. Thank you.
What is that?
Wish you'd have told me that before I bought you.
What was the name of, was the actual movie Choked as well?
It's just Choke.
Choke?
With Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, it was, it wasn't that great. It's on HBO Go right now, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, I can watch, oh, no, I don't really want to.
It's, Alison Brie is in it.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Alison Brie. I don't remember her being in it.
She was the stripper.
Really? I'm watching it tonight.
yeah, there's that one funny part, and he's like, the main character, he's kind of hung up on medical ailments and stuff. Like he
faced that's around, just only watching Fight Club. I mean, that's clearly a ongoing theme he has.
Well, he's like in a strip club, and he's like, ah, you get that mole, you should really get that checked out. He says something like, blondes are 20% more likely to get skin cancer. And he goes back to the strip club later on, and she's like, I dyed my hair, so now I won't get cancer, right? Like, yeah. Sure, that's how it works.
Reminds me of a funny joke. I'm not going to tell the joke.
Are you still there, Ryan?
I'm here. I'm sending you an email. We're talking about Alison Brie, and I made a desktop picture, and she's in it. Yeah. I wanted to send you the picture. You've actually seen it in the progress of it. Like, yeah. I shared it on Facebook. It had the Cheshire Cat in the background and, yep, like, a Batman death skull Batman type thing. Well, I've added onto it, and it's really cool. So,
well, now I got to put it in the show notes.
Okay. It's awesome. It's worth it for the world to see.
What's the premise of Rant?
So it is, it's written as, I don't know what the term is, but like an interview. It interviews a bunch of different people.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a term for how that is written.
Kind of
like the way The Office is done.
Well, I was going to say, like World War Z, the way that book is done, where every chapter is a different perspective because they're talking to different people.
Who would read World War Z?
Well, I always heard the book was way, way better than the movie.
I never even knew. I mean, all movies really are books beforehand, but I didn't even know about this one.
Yeah, I listened to the movie's nothing like the book. Because the book is like after the fact. Well, me and Rafi listened to the audio book. It's after all the zombies are taken care of, and it's this journalist going around talking to, like, he talks to a general, he talks to a school teacher, he talks to, like, a fisherman.
And that's how this is. But it's more like every paragraph is a different interview. And it goes back and forth and stuff. But it's really good. And
what are they all being interviewed about?
All about one character named Rant Casey. You hear in the audiobook, you hear his voice twice. His actual name, his like birth name is Buster Casey.
Yeah.
That's what his parents call him, but somewhere down the line, he changes it to Rant. And
isn't that like an old film person?
You're thinking Buster Keaton.
Buster, thank you. Okay.
Showing my age again.
That's way old. That was way before you, buddy.
So Rant is, it's a crazy book. So it's all the interviews, and you piece it together over time of what's really happening. And like, it involves, kind of like, remember in The Matrix how Trinity needed to learn how to fly a helicopter like that?
Yeah.
So she jacked in and learned it. So they have that. So it takes place in the future where everybody has like USB ports in the back of their necks, and they can experience other people's, you can like record your experiences and pass it along.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of like where podcasting is now will be, that's where it's going to go.
What about that movie, Strange Days?
I don't remember that one.
Either of you guys, do you remember it, Mike?
I never saw it.
Oh, I hate both of you.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it came out in 1999.
That's way old then.
It was about the millennium coming, and it was Ralph Fiennes was in it.
Okay.
And he was a guy who he sold the experience of having sex with other women. Like, he would hire guys and girls to have sex with each other, and he put, like, these hairnet things on them that would record what they were experiencing. He sold it.
Interesting.
Like, that was the drug.
So almost like, in Demolition Man, when they use, like, the simulator things, so, like, they could just feel the pleasure. They don't actually touch each other, though.
This was kind of...
Probably better, though.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian.
They kind of do that in Rant, but they'll like, record a porno or people having sex, and then they'll play it inside of, like, a dog, and a dog will experience it, and they'll record the dog's experience of that, so then all the smells and stuff are enhanced. And then the worst thing, like, they say this in the movie that they, or the book that they do this, is they'll do the same thing to, like, a baby, and then experiencing porn through a baby's eyes is, like, the craziest thing you've ever experienced, according to this book.
That's weird.
I'm kind of creeped out by that.
But that's another, like, that's just Chuck Palahniuk. He's a fucked up guy.
It's so interesting that you go from James Gunn for the last time you were talking to this, because it sounds like both of them are kind of... James Gunn's fucked up. Like, I've actually met James Gunn at a convention, and he's got a very odd sense of humor, but he's just very bizarre. But, yeah, he's a cool dude, but this guy sounds way weirder, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to meet Chuck Palahniuk in person.
Just enough to say, sign my book at Fight Club and let it go.
Don't make eye contact with me!
So that uploading is just one little tiny piece of the book. There's also werewolves due to rabies. Like, rabies gets so bad that basically people turn into werewolves, or that's what they're called, because they're just like drooling beasts, and they have to segregate night people and day people. So, like, there's a curfew, and you're either a night person or a day person, and if you're a night person, you can't be out in the day, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And what else? I mean, there's so much crazy stuff in it. But the biggest thing that I love is time travel. Ooh. I love time travel. And that's kind of like the kicker towards the end of the book, that kind of ties it all together. And it's pretty amazing. I read it, like I said, I read it a couple years ago, and I just recently listened to it, and I got so much more the second time going through it, because, like, you learn stuff at the end of the book, and then once you read it again, you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of making more sense now. But yeah, time travel, werewolves.
It's interesting the way you talk about, like, novels are like that, you know, like, where you know, we're used to comics where you know almost everything that's going on a lot of time in the comic books, because you have an instant gratification of seeing it. You don't have to, it doesn't sit like a novel does, where you keep, like, I mean, you always want to see the next issue, kind of, in a comic, but you always kind of know what's going on. Like, in books, you get a lot of stuff that's left until the very end, you know, where it's like, well, this is why this happened, this is why this happened, this is why that. Like, you don't get that feeling a lot of times in comic books.
Because you need that every 22 pages.
Correct.
To tell you.
The funny thing is that Neil Adams is trying to make comic books like that now. That his Batman Odyssey thing, he did the comic like a book.
And people complained.
And super complained. But he's convinced that this, like... He sees trends that happen. Like, I mean, he might not... I'm not saying it's a good trend.
He also believes that the Earth is growing.
Neil Adams really believes that?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Go to his website.
That's interesting.
He has an entire video section about how the Earth is expanding.
You're shitting me.
No, I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God. All right. Now there's some credibility thrown.
Wouldn't it be expanding, though? Like, it wouldn't be shrinking.
No, he's talking, like... The land mass is growing.
Which it is.
The oceans will get smaller. That the Earth is like five times the size it was.
There's always more land coming out of the core.
Not all the time. I don't.
I opened up a whole new can of worms.
I like the sciencey stuff. Plus, like, all the meteors that hit makes Earth grow, and like
Neil Adams is talking like it's.
Like, Earth is growing like the rate of a child.
Like it's organically, like, growing.
Not like it's...
Another point. Oh, have you guys ever heard of, I think his name's Terrence McCallin or something like that?
No.
Nope. He's a crazy motherfucker who has great fucking, I don't know. I really enjoy his stuff.
What's he talking about?
The latest thing, which kind of goes along with what we're talking about, is how he was saying, okay, so humans take metals and elements out of the earth, and we created machines and computers, and then we created artificial intelligence. Well, he's saying that that artificial intelligence is just letting the earth talk for itself, basically, because it's the earth's materials, and that's like kind of the whole reason humans and life, well, the whole reason life has started, has gotten us to this point of humans to be able to build consciousness out of the earth that was always there but could never do anything. But now that we've built machines, it can do stuff.
It's not the voice of the earth coming out of those machines. It's the voice we program into it.
But
they're not free speaking. They're saying what we told them to say.
Well, then that's another. It's how you look at consciousness. Like some people look at consciousness as it's not in your head. It's everywhere, and like every human with a set of eyeballs and a brain to register what's going on around them is just more like a radar system to the consciousness.
Like we're microprocessors. Everything we input goes back to a main consciousness.
Yeah. I mean,
that would explain things like Zeitgeist.
Collective consciousness. It's a theory, yeah.
Was that an existentialist thing?
I think so, yeah.
Emerson?
I like Thoreau? I'm a fan.
Well, it gives the theory. It's like, how come every time I go to the store, everybody's at the store at the same time? Collective consciousness.
Zeitgeist. You all have the same idea at the same time.
Yeah.
Same with fiction or comics.
Yeah.
Or like movies.
Yeah.
Why the hell did Deep Impact and Armageddon come out at the same time?
Right. Or, and there's so many movies like that. It seemed like through like the 90s and the 2000s. But all right. We really sat on the couch for this one. This is a crazy episode. But Rand, we'll kind of go back to that a little bit and table this conversation for another day. But there's a lot of like deep psychological stuff, it sounds like, in Rand, and just makes you like maybe think about fucked up things that you kind of don't want to think about. And
you guys have heard about the grandpa paradox, grandfather paradox, and time travel.
You're your own grandfather.
I've heard somebody actually who claims this too.
If you go back to your grandfather, will you exist? Your
grandfather, then you want to exist.
Yeah.
What if you went back in time and fucked your grandma, and then put your DNA into like your mother, and then when your mother has you, there's more of you in you than what once was before.
So you're purifying yourself,
or making yourself more powerful and immortal. Well, to make yourself immortal, you have to kill your parents before they made you. So then you're erased from time, but you still exist, and you'll never age.
You're outside of time.
Yeah. But if you go back, like way back in time, and have sex with your great-great-great-grandma, and then your great-great-grandma, and your great-grandma, and then your grandma, and then your mom, then...
Which would all be your daughters.
Well... Except for your mom, because then it has to have you, then she has to have you.
Yeah, but she's still your daughter.
Your mom's your daughter, and your mom at the same time. Man, that's some weird Kentucky thing right there. No offense.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's, I didn't think about that.
Is that part of the book in Rant?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. And another thing is, I'm like, I also want to say, well, I've already seen that before because I watched Futurama, and Fry is his own grandfather,
yeah.
And he has no delta brainwave, which was why those the brain creatures could not force him to do things.
Yeah. I've grown up with enough dogs who have fucked their moms and grandmothers and all that. They don't get more powerful and immortal.
No.
they get lamps.
Well, they want it. In actuality, if a dog fucks its mother, it's not
giving birth to itself.
Yeah, it's not giving birth to itself. Where the time travel comes along. Another thing, a cool thing in Rant, more in the beginning of the book, less of a spoiler, is that like he loves getting bitten by poisonous snakes and spiders and everything he can, and he's had rabies so many times, and he is the rabies epidemic, because he gives rabies to everybody, and when he gets bit, he says, "Oh man, that's what church should be like," because he just loves the feeling of the poison going through him, and I guess I don't really know, but it's pretty cool. I liked it.
Okay.
That's a very bizarre book.
We're gonna wrap this up for now. So Ryan Merrill's a sick bastard.
Yeah, that's what we're all
And it's RyanMerrillsSickBastard.com, right? That's your website?
I'm gonna start it right now. No. I emailed you that picture.
I will throw it up at the podcast, buddy.
Cool.
Thank you.
And then once we get all of our guardians watching it and everything like that,
we'll have you back on. We'll do a
I gotta wait 2 weeks after it airs, because ever since we've had the baby, my wife and I, we haven't gone to the movies together, because we don't know anybody here to watch our baby.
Yeah.
So we see separate showings and then talk about it afterwards.
Understand completely.
But we want to see Guardians of the Galaxy at the same time, so we're waiting 2 weeks for when we're in Tennessee with family members to go watch it then, so the family members can babysit.
Very cool.
Okay, well let's hop off here for now, and I will we'll get back with you next month. I love having you on, Ryan.
Thanks.
Thanks for the pleasure.
We'll see you on the internet.
All right.